Good morning. I've been listening this week how people have gone into churches because they're nice and cool. And we know we've come into our nice cool church this morning to worship our Lord. And last week we said happy birthday to God's church. Did you celebrate? Yes, some of you did. Some of you are like, oh, was it? And today it's Trinity Sunday, so it may not be in most of your diaries. It's one of those church celebrations that not all denominations embrace, but I like to. I think it's good not to commemorate an event, but actually the reality of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we celebrate that perfect relationship and what they have done together to accomplish the salvation of sinful humanity. And so as we come to worship in God's cool house, the words God speaks are the life and sustenance of all that exists. The life Jesus gives is the recreation and renewed birth of all that is broken and worn. The Spirit stirring in our souls is the inspiration for creativity, compassion, joy, and community. Life-giving, life-restoring, life-fulfilling God, may our whole lives be worship in all things. May we seek to connect with and reflect your love and your hope. Amen. And as we come and celebrate the church's one foundation, as we think of God, as it says in verse 5, God three in one, number 640, the church's one foundation.
Thank you.
Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. God who created the world, Jesus the Son given for the world, Holy Spirit ever present in the world, be with us in our worship that we may know the fullness of the Holy One. As God lives in triune community, so may we live in communion with God and each other. Lord God, creator of all, you created us to be your people, a people free to love and to serve you with all our minds, with all our hearts, and with all our strength. So we come to worship our God, leaving behind all that binds us, our doubts and our fears, our darkness and our hopelessness. Abba, Father, Creator, we call you by many names, but the names we choose show our relationship with you. We desire to draw closer to you, O God. We desire to hear your voice above the chatter of the world, to know your ways and to walk in them. Spirit of life, wind and breath among us, we feel you move through us, guiding us in our journey, inspiring us to share your love with others. Jesus, the Christ, the Saviour of us all, our brother and friend, we desire to walk in your ways and to love one another as you have first loved us. God, three in one, blessed Trinity, we desire to relate to you and to each other more fully so that we may draw into the depths of your love, first glimpsed at creation, when your voice called us and the earth forth out of darkness into your light. Continue to call us and guide us and lead us into this world and beyond. Holy and triune God, you alone live in perfect relationship. One God in three persons, mutual and loving, ever seeking reconciliation and unity. You have called us to live in your completion, yet we confess that our relationships are imperfect and we are incomplete without you. We are selfish and greedy. We are anxious and resenting. We feel the shame of our foolish behaviour and brokenness. We've allowed sin to drive us apart from one another and from you. So, Heavenly Father, forgive us and restore us. Draw us close and bind us together in your mercy and your grace and in your love. Almighty God, we thank you that we can come into your holy house this morning with all the problems of the nations and even the problems in our own lives, Lord. We thank you that you hear our prayers as we think of those things that are on our hearts, as we think of those countries that are at war and civil unrest, as we think about the politicians, Lord, that are elected to be the voice of the people, yet seem so far away from the people that they were elected to serve. Lord, we bring the threats and the fears of people everywhere because all are known to you. Lord, save us from fear and greed and all the evil things that keep your people away from love. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Lord, we bring to you those that are known to us who are dying, who are sick, who are lonely, who are broken. Lord, they are your special people, and you know them inside and out. And so just in our hearts, Lord, we name those people that are close to us. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, come, Holy Spirit, come with your life-giving care and joy. May we long for wholeness and peace. May we strive toward gratitude and grace. In the saving name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the working power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. And we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we continue to give thanks and praise as we think about God in his grace gives us new life by his Holy Spirit. And we'll sing number 67, Breathe on Us, Breath of God. It's great that we can come to God's house and to celebrate. And if we think about the church calendar, we have so much to celebrate. And some of my friends think that all we do at church is eat. And I was like, we've got a lot to celebrate. So, you know, it's eating all the time. But if you think over these last months, we've journeyed through Advent and Christmas and Lent. We've done Easter, Ascension last week, Pentecost. We've followed the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so we come this morning to try and make sense of it all. How are your brains? All mushed up by the weather last week? I've said to you before when I was asked when I did prison chaplaincy to help someone understand the Trinity, I was like, yeah, okay. We're not going to do that on 15 minutes over coffee. But the Gospels lead us to know Jesus, and now they lead us to reflect on what we believe in one God, three in one. The doctrine of the Trinity, as it's known, is one of the mysteries of our Christian faith, that no amount of clever analogies or explanations or illustrations can quite unravel. How can one be three and three can be one has puzzled some of the greatest minds. You're all going, oh no. But you'll be reassured to know that we are actually encouraged just to enjoy the mystery. Okay, so enjoy this morning. Tell your faces you're going to enjoy the mystery of the Trinity and accept that some things are as they are. Indeed, many things about our faith are more than our human minds can take in. But I do enjoy pondering and reflecting on the beauty of the relationship. And that, because I think the relationship between God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit helps us to learn and to grow with both the Trinity, who we are invited to join with, and with one another. And the word Trinity never appears in the Bible. Never. However, while the word is absent, passages that explicitly list all three members of the Godhead are there. And so I had a choice this morning as to which passage I would preach on, and God has given thus the one that Pauline is now going to read to us.
The reading is from 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1 to 12, and the heading is Faith in the Son of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commands. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water, and by shedding his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with this testimony. So we have these three witnesses: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And all three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar, because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified: he has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son, have God's Son, does not have life. This is the word of God.
As we look at 1 John 5, which begins on page 1228, begins with an important idea. Everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ is born of God. Those who truly love God also love their spiritual sisters and brothers. That's us lot. We show that love for others through obeying God's commands. And as we look at the second section, verses 6 to 12, we focus on Jesus as God's Son. He came by water and blood. We believe that's John's reference to Jesus' baptism and crucifixion. The Spirit also agrees with the testimony of Jesus as God's Son. And whoever believes and has his testimony within them, this witness proves through Christ that we have everlasting life. And so if you see in that passage, all three are present. All three are talked about through John in that passage. And I believe that the Trinity is the real treasure that lies in the very heart of Christianity. It is the unique feature of our faith. And so as we prepare ourselves to receive God's word, let's sing number 613. And you can sit and sing 613, Spirit of the Living God, and we'll sing it through twice. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for blessing us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that as we ponder your word, that we will hear your voice and understand your will. Holy Spirit, I ask that you open our hearts and minds, and that you work on our hearts, so that we understand and obey the truths that the Father has shared through Scripture, through Jesus, and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we heard that passage read to us, it says, "For there are three that testify." You've heard the phrase, two's company, three's a crowd, yes? used to say that a third person is not necessarily welcome when two people want to be alone with one another. Or sometimes you see it in sibling rivalry when there's three children and the middle one always feels left out. You may also have heard the phrase, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Yes, that one's a little bit more difficult. No? A cord of three strands is not easily broken. So is that a contemporary saying or is that biblical? Biblical? Not sure. It's Ecclesiastes, yes. For I like just thought I'd check because, you know, I like that quiz. Is it Shakespeare or is it the Bible? And yeah, it's in the Bible. And actually, it's most frequently used in unity in ceremonies like weddings, where it's actually referred to as God's knot. Isn't that lovely? When the couple are getting married and God's added, it becomes God's knot. The joining of the bride, the groom, and God in a marriage. And this imagery of a three-stranded cord illustrates the strength that is found in unity. Individually, strands can break easily, but when they're woven together, they become much stronger and more resilient. Anybody who's ever been down to the Kent coast and seen the rope being made as they bind those cords together, they make them actually really, really strong. And here in our passage that we heard read earlier, we recognize three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, or as we'll sing shortly, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. So having said that this sermon comes with a health warning, have you ever sat and contemplated the Trinity? How God can exist in three persons, yet still be God? Some yes, some not sure. How can God be God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, Father, Saviour, Comforter, Creator, King of Kings, Advocate, or as 2 Corinthians 3 says, just to help us, Lord, Lord, and Lord. I'll go with that one. We may say that I think I understand God, Jesus, yeah, Holy Spirit, not so much. Or cynics suggest that now most people beyond the church walls don't understand Jesus. It's been helpful, actually, as I was thinking about today's preach, that something popped into one of my social feeds and helped me to, and I think I've used it before, that Christmas was God with us, Easter was God for us, Pentecost is God in us. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Getting it now, sorry, I'm a bit... God started his melting me bit from the song earlier. Today is Trinity Sunday, a day when we celebrate the doctrine of God in the as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as I said, although the word Trinity never exists in the Bible, it doesn't occur at all, which actually leads other cults and sects and other faith groups to disbelieve and challenge our faith, because why would we celebrate something and use the name of something that doesn't actually occur in the Bible? But there are places where they are quite obviously present together. They are distinct and unable to be confused with each other, yet they present a unity that cannot be divided. That is their strength, and we are invited into that union. The Trinity is central to our Christian belief system. Yet we're often told that we shouldn't attempt to understand it, as I was saying at the beginning, because it is a mystery. Over time, we have contemplated some of the passages where the Trinity is implicit. In the accounts of Jesus' baptism, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all recall that when Jesus had just been baptized, he saw heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and that a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And in those verses we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is later quoted in Matthew's Gospel as instructing the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So whether we're new on our faith journey or in need of a reminder, it is good to consider what we believe and why we believe it. I'd never noticed until Friday that our last hymn, Holy, 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 is set to the tune of Nicaea. And the only reason I noticed that is because lovely Nigel here is putting together a USB of all the hymns in Mission Praise. What did you say, you're up to 800? Yeah. And next to them he puts the tune. And so it's the first time I've actually, because I always thought there's only one tune to Holy, Holy, Holy. And when I saw that it was actually Nicaea, it's actually an ancient Greek city. And the name originates from the word Nike, meaning victory. So those of us that have been to Ephesus will have seen the Nike tick, the ones we wear on our trainers. But it's historically famous as the site of the early Christian councils, which established the divinity of Christ and produced the Nicene Creed. You knew where I was going with that, some of you, didn't you? And who can recite the Nicene Creed? Very good. Yes. Keep going. You're going to give me the rest of it? Well done, Salia. it's often recited, and anyone who goes to other traditions, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. So you could see where these people were going back in 325 AD. In our own statement of faith for our denomination, we believe there is one God, and yet we also believe that God exists in community as three persons, three in one and one in three. One God, one substance, one essence, yet existing in a mutual relationship of love and three equal and distinct persons. All of them God. As I said earlier, over the years I've heard many attempts to illustrate the Trinity. Some have been more helpful than others. Most have left me still pondering. I've heard the egg one. Have you heard the one about the egg? How God is, the Trinity is like an egg. There's the three-leaf clover. Is it one leaf or three leaves? Pardon? Three stumps, one wicket, yeah. So we've all been damaged by church illustrations. For me, I just think it's good just to hold it as a mystery. I like the jug and three glasses, because if you pour the water out of one jug, it's still the same water, but it's in three different places. So that's the one that works for me. But as I always advise, what does the Bible say? Does it give us clarity? And as I said at the beginning, no, not really, because the word is never mentioned. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses writes this to God's people: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Just told you the Lord is three. Moses is saying the Lord is one. And yet when we get into John 14, Philip says to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." Jesus answers Philip just as he answers our request: "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And then later, believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me." And then he goes on to say, "If you love me and obey what I command, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." So you see, if we just cherry pick verses, we don't get to the essence, to the mystery of the Trinity. There is only one God, but the Son, Jesus, is also equally God, because he is the Father and the Father is in him. And the Holy Spirit is God, because he is Comforter and Counselor sent to us by Jesus. His very presence tells us the character of God. In my fallen state, I can't fully comprehend the love that took Christ to the cross or the mystery of our faith. But I do know that the scriptures encourage us to live by faith and not by sight. The hard-to-understand Trinity gives us a picture of God's love using illustrations is one approach. An alternative, then, rather to explain the Trinity, is to look at some of the ways that we can describe it. As I said a few weeks ago, we see the unity of the Trinity if we look at the account of creation in Genesis 1, where it says that the Spirit hovered over the waters. God says in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make mankind in our image." Right back in Genesis 1, we hear God referring to himself as us and our. Let us. That was God at work in creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when we get to John chapter 1, he refers and identifies Jesus as the Word, as he did in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. And then we see the diversity of the Trinity. Although the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are of the same substance and work together for a common purpose, they don't always do the same things. God the Father watches over the world. God the Son redeemed the world on the cross. God the Holy Spirit equips us to live in the world as Christians. Three very different roles, but all for one purpose of manifesting God's glory in the world. In John 5, Jesus says, "Whatever the Father does, the Son does, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does." Books and many books have been written about the love that is shared with the community of the Trinity. Several weeks ago, I asked you, what was Jesus doing now? Do you remember, those of you that were here? And we learned that he is praying and interceding. And if we look at Romans 8, so is the Holy Spirit. Who with? With each other. And so thirdly, we see the intimacy within the Trinity. They are in relationship with one another. The Father loves the Son and speaks to him. The Son loves the Father and prays to him. The Father and the Son together send the Holy Spirit, all in different ways, mirror the love that characterizes their relationship. One of the most beautiful images and explanations I still remember from when I was at Bible college was that the Holy Trinity are in a divine dance with one another. What a beautiful image, and you can picture that in any way you want. The relationship between the three is often described with a Greek word that means dance. It's a fluid exchange between the three persons, moving and giving and receiving. Imagine a circular dance. You can go back to your Strictly days for those of you that watch Strictly, where multiple dancers are so in sync with one another that you can't see where one ends and the other starts. For it is a dance of love. The Trinity is an external dance of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sharing mutual love, honor, happiness, joy, and respect, and live in an eternal relationship of self-giving. In this dance, we see that God has loved one another and been in relationship for all eternity. In our passage that we heard earlier, it says, "For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. In these verses, we recognize some of the other gospel illustrations. The gospel is not based merely on human testimony. John indicates that there are in fact three that testify, being the witness of the Spirit, big S if you look at it carefully, the water, which is the baptism of Jesus, which includes, as we just heard, the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and the voice of the Father in heaven, and the blood of Jesus, the cross, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. These three agree. The Old Testament taught that every charge must be confirmed by two or three witnesses, and that's the same principle that continues into the New Testament. All three agree, and that is why we can believe in faith in the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. It leaves us with a God who exists in perfect community of love, and that must challenge and shape our love for one another as God's community here. It leaves us with a clear route to know God. If you want to know God better, get to know Jesus and be open to the Counselor, the Holy Spirit of truth. It leaves us with a God in whom there is unity and diversity, and all within a loving community. It is the eternal dance of love at the centre of God's being, constant movement, constant creation, because God is not static. God is constantly renewing and creating and making all things new. God is constantly at work in our world through the dynamic movement of the three persons of the Trinity. This means that movement and change and creativity should be at the heart of our community here. This is the God that we worship, God the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would desire to grow and develop and join in with them as we are invited to do. Amen. Let's pray. May the blessings of the dynamically unchanging Trinity be ours. May the Father's enduring love accompany us in our lives. May Jesus himself strengthen us to be co-builders of his kingdom. And may the Spirit indwell and inspire us on our journey. Amen. As I said earlier, we're going to sing number 237, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, to the tune Nicaea, because we do believe that there is one true and living God existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
And as I say the blessing, pay attention, because I'm going to ask you to join in at the end. Go out and in all of life worship the Lord. Entrust yourself to the winds of God's Spirit. Put to death selfish desires and offer yourself to God's mission in the world. May God give strength to you and to us all. May Christ Jesus bless you with peace. And may the Holy Spirit whispering within our hearts give us assurance that we are God's children. And so we use the words that Paul used in 2 Corinthians as we say the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.